Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the worst fucking podcast you've ever heard. Both Mics.
Hey everybody, welcome to Both Mics.
Hey, Both Mics is a show about nothing and everything. That is Mike Sofka.
And that is Mike Taylor over there. And together, we are Both Mics.
We are Both Mics. Welcome, folks. We are on show number 126, episode 126 of Both Mics. You can find us anywhere podcasts can be heard. You got that Alexa Google thing on your counter? Say, Alexa, play Both Mics. And our velvety, smooth voices will come across your airwaves. How you doing, Mr. Sofka? How's things? How's life?
I'm doing good. Thank you. And I was just thinking that, you know, you do have that and you watched episode or listened to episode 125, you know that your deceased relatives can now talk to you through Alexa. So yes. I was just curious when you did that, you know, Alexa.
Here's the thing. Here, hold on. Alexa, play Motley Crue. Now, will the device now play Motley Crue because I told it to? Because it says it out loud?
That's the idea.
It responds to your voice, but does it know if the voice is coming from within? Alexa, play Bowling for Soup.
There you go.
Ruin someone's afternoon. Right. Alexa, how do you bury a body?
There you go. Yes, because everyone needs that Google search on their friggin' phone. Do you know the difference between friends? Do you know how to determine what, you know, friends? Do you know how to do that? Like, a good friend will, you know, they'll help you kill somebody. A best friend will help you hide the body.
Right, right. I thought you were going with spit or swallow.
No. So check this out. If you know, if you have an Android phone, you have an Android phone, right?
I do, yes. Yes, I do.
I have an Android phone as well. According to Best Life Online, you know, is it just me or is it most of the people that you know in your life that have Apple phones tend to be on the more artistic side of things? I didn't say autistic. I said artistic.
I was going to ask you to clarify that.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about somebody with Asperger's or nothing like that.
Yeah, I guess the more techie brainy people have, you know, are Apple people.
But see, and then I think it attracts people who wish they had that in them, so they think by buying that Apple product, they're becoming that type of person. No? Does that make sense?
Possible, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
People look at it like, oh, well, those people buy the Apple phone. I want to be like those people.
It's just like in junior high. Certain people had to have certain genes and certain this certain that. You're like, really? Whatever, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was. My kids weren't like that either. They were like that when we went food school shopping one time. Gave the kids some money, took them to the mall. This was when you still did that. This is back in the 2000s, you know. And you know, the one came back and said, "I don't understand. I only got one thing." And I was like, "What do you mean on one thing? You know, I gave you enough money. You should have got a couple things, three or four things. I was hoping you were going to have five or six things.
Right.
You just picked one thing." Well, yeah, that's all I had the money for. Well, they went to one of these stores at the mall and paid full retail. Meanwhile, the other siblings were more value conscious and looked at bargains, sales, things that were still appealing and nice. You know, I didn't take them to the Goodwill and do their school shopping or nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm just saying, you know.
Well, there is, yeah.
So it didn't take long for that to be discovered. And then that same child even discovered the secondhand clothing industry, such as places. I guess there's other places like Plato's Closet. I don't know if those places are still around post-COVID, but
yeah,
it wasn't really like a thrift store, but it was kind of like repurposing those name brand items. I guess you would find that now on Poshmark, supposedly. You know, shit's expensive, dude.
Right.
Shit's expensive. Have you gotten clothes or anything like that for the kids lately? It's a constant thing, I know, but
we're lucky enough that we that they're both boys and Nikki gets the majority of what used to be Xander's. We had a splurge for shoes not too long ago. And God, last year sometime we went to Academy an Academy has a brand that's actually a decent brand, and we got them. They were $39 for both of them, and they got matching shoes. The older one liked them and still has them. The younger one destroyed them somehow. So, we had to replace his shoes, so we got both kids new shoes. Went to Skechers at the outlet, and I don't like spending a lot of money for my own shoes. You know, look, I'm wearing a freebie T-shirt from Royal Caribbean's casino. You know, and who knows how old this thing is on my head. But right. I we just paid $62.
Well, you and I aren't still growing either. I mean, yeah. we're pretty much well. Yeah, there you go.
$62 for shoes for the older one, and
that's a bit pricey for kids' shoes, dude.
Yeah, tell me about it.
What kind of shoes are these?
They're Skechers with all the buzzers and whistles.
Well, there you go. All right. Well,
yeah. But
you know what? I would rather spend shoes because of the way the kid walks and all that stuff. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. All right.
The younger one, I'm not sure. I think they were like under 50 and they had Blinkies and all that stuff too. But Xander didn't like those shoes. So we bought him a pair and they were regular tie. You know, they weren't the Velcro, regular tie. And I think he's too young for us to deal with that because they were constantly coming untied. He didn't like them. We returned them, got another pair. And he, you know, of course, he liked these too, got them. And they hurt. They hurt his feet. They did this. They did that. They did the other thing. Those went back. So he's on pair number three. And okay, they came in, and you know, he didn't like the $35 pair. He didn't like the $49 pair, so we had to get the $62 pair. So yeah, that's that. And a lot of times, if we see things on Amazon, like his newest thing. The newest thing is Sonic the Hedgehog, and so they had a Sonic, a Knuckles, and a Tails T-shirt. The yellow, the red, and the blue Sonic characters, and it was like $14-15 for three shirts. Boom! You know he's good for
that's a deal. Yeah,
and then
I'm good with that. Yeah,
and they had when we went to One-to-One Financial Field where the Jumbo Shrimp play. They did movie night and they had the Paw Patrol movie play. We bought them Paw Patrol shirts, so they got like four different T-shirts for that. And it was like $20-30 for the four T-shirts. And luckily in Florida, you got shorts. Shorts are a dime a dozen, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the shoes, you know? It's not so much the T-shirts and the shorts. It's the shoes, you know? And I don't like them. These hurt.
They hurt. I want new ones. I don't like these. I don't like that.
Now watch this. He's gonna grow up to be a famous shoe model or something, and yes. You should. Who's the name brand on the one that you got there? What's gonna be a shameless plug here? Is there a name brand on it or no?
Skechers.
Skechers, you said. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe we can get you an endorsement deal or something with Skechers.
Maybe.
You
know, be cool. Yeah.
Maybe we'll just stop sending bills and start sending shoes.
And here's the thing, after. We purchased these shoes and they came in the mail finally after like a week or so. Bren goes by the exchange, the Navy exchange on the Navy base here in Jacksonville. And she's like, they have like every shoe you possibly can imagine there for half the price. So like,
there you go.
We got to like keep remembering that if we need something to go to the exchange, you know. Because in Jersey, there's no tax on clothing. But here in Florida, for some reason, there's tax on clothing.
Hmm.
So,
I don't care. I don't pay state income tax. So that's good.
In the at the exchange, there's no tax on anything.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So according to Best Life Online, I started talking about this, got sidetracked. Sorry. But Sorry. So far this year, Android users have faced different updates and changes thanks to Google, who owns and operates the OS, the operating system for these devices. A tech giant nixed the YouTube Go app from the Google Play Store, which plans to begin shutting it down fully in August. And bookworms were dismayed back in April when it was announced that they could no longer purchase digital books in the Barnes & Noble Nook Android app. Doubling down on this, Google also eliminated the ability to purchase audiobook titles from Amazon's Audible for Google Play Android app with a credit or debit card.
Interesting.
While not being able to stream videos or buy new ebooks can be frustrating, Google has now decided to do away with one of Android's most useful and convenient capabilities with Android Audio. With Android Auto. You use that on the Pilot? Use Android Auto?
No.
Yeah, you probably have it.
I think so, yeah. But
it helps with the navigation. It uses the navigation from your phone instead of having to buy it. And it pops up. You got a screen? You got like a 7 or an 11-inch screen on your dash?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're running Android Auto, it'll run it through Bluetooth and you don't have to wire it. And it'll run your maps or whatever you're using right on the dash. If you have built-in navigation?
Yeah.
Oh, then you don't need it then.
Right.
But you have it, but you don't need it.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's also not archaic, but you know, there's things missing on the navigation on the car.
Well, yeah, I mean,
new neighborhoods. It
needs updating every so often, like
yeah,
because shit changes in Florida. We're growing, man.
Tell me about it, especially up here. I put in Android, and Android Auto is the first thing that comes up. Oh, it's installed on my phone, so. Interesting. What's new? I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho.
Samsung's still in the news here. They're debuting their smallest 200 megapixel smartphone sensor yet. I didn't know there was a 200 megapixel smartphone. Did you?
I did not know that. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Samsung Electronics has unveiled the ISOCELL HP3, its latest 200 megapixel camera sensor. It will assist manufacturers in keeping their premium smartphones slim, despite featuring some of the smallest pixels yet. The sensor includes technology like autofocus capability in every pixel, binning for better low light capability and multi-gain ISO for maximum dynamic range.
Wow.
Science talk, bunch of numbers and shit we don't need, yada, yada, yada. There you go. In addition to high-res photos, it allows for 8K video.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to get one of these phones, dude. It's been too long since I think I've had this phone. This is the second round of this phone. The first one was too damaged. I claimed the insurance because I paid for that like $5 a month or whatever.
Right.
For $150, they sent me a reconditioned replacement that works fine.
Yeah.
But I've had this actual phone, even with that exchange, since like 2016, which is an eternity for me, dude.
I think I'm going on 4 years with this one. I got this phone and a tablet. They gave me the tablet for free with activation. And it was like $10 a month for the service for the tablet. And like out the door is like $11.83 a month. So I got a brand new phone. I got a tablet. We still have the tablet. We no longer have the service on the tablet, but it's hooked up to Wi-Fi, so it's fine.
Yeah, you don't need it, right?
Yeah, it was a tablet with cell service.
Yeah,
you couldn't make phone calls on it, but you could
use it
anywhere.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be hooked to Wi-Fi. The kids could use it in the car, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the boys will be using it in the morning. You know, every weekend morning, they come in and grab the tablets and they just start watching TV while we try to get an extra hour of sleep.
So have you ever had a phone go into the water, into a pool, in the ocean, in the shower, in the toilet, whatever?
I haven't, no. And this is actually the first phone I've ever had that I actually cracked the screen, and it's slightly cracked. It's like
Yeah.
You can't even feel it when you rub your finger upon it, but you could see like on an angle that it's cracked.
The case and I got the clear tape thing on the front, and that's pretty much what holds this thing together when I chuck it across the room.
Brenda does the clear tape.
I do the OtterBox. I spring the $60 on the OtterBox.
Yeah, I have the best of both then. Because
I wear the Nerd Clip.
Stop.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
What do you do with your phone? You shove it in your pocket?
Yeah, right next to my nuts. I'm sure it's going to be good for me one day.
Exactly. Yeah, when you want to have grandkids.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, I go for the Nerd Clip. I've always had the Nerd Clip.
I used to, dude, but I couldn't do it, dude. It wouldn't. What didn't feel right?
Yeah, it takes some getting used to. But the thing is, I got used to the Nerd Clip when I had a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
So I had the BlackBerry. The BlackBerry came with the clip.
Maybe because back in the day, that clip used to pop off, or the phone used to snap out.
Yeah.
Lose it.
Here's the thing. I wear it on my left side, so getting into the car, it gets caught on the door. It gets caught on the seat. Yeah. And like you could see, it does this.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I've actually broken this piece that I'm holding right off.
Wow.
And I actually have extra ones of these that I've broken them off and hot glued the clip back on.
I have one of those sitting around the house. I don't know what size it is, but I have one because I refuse to use it.
Right. But I use it. And the thing is with the OtterBox.
Yeah.
This seal becomes like not good after a while.
Right. Yeah.
So a couple months after I get it, I get a hold of OtterBox and say, hey,
right,
broke it. I need a new one. And if it's just a couple months, they'll send you both the clip and the device.
Yeah. And
if I broke the clip, I'll use the clip. I'll keep the actual piece.
Right. You know,
I have backups in case I need it.
Yeah.
Well, I have one of these clips on my dresser right now where this broke off the clip and I've hot glued it twice. Hmm. And getting into the car, it comes undone. It gets ripped apart. So I have it on my dresser to re-hot glue if I ever need it.
So I was asking about the phones and water and stuff because according to AndroidAuthority.com, Samsung admits to making misleading water resistance claims about 7 phones.
Wow.
The company now has to pay a $9.7 million fine in Australia.
Wow.
Samsung has to pay the $9.7 million in Australia for putting out misleading ads about 7 phones. The ads showed the Galaxy phones were suitable for use in the pool and in the sea. The company now says submerging the phones could corrode the charging port. Samsung has paid a hefty fine in Australia. It's $14 million Australian dollars, which is $9.7 U.S. dollars, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. Yada yada. It's the S7, the S7 Edge, the A5, the A7, the S8. Yeah, that's what I have. I think I have a 7 or an 8. S8 Plus and a Note 8.
I think I have an 8. Which is the one that was catching fire? I think that was the 7, right?
I think the 7 was the ones that were exploding in airport luggage.
That's the one. Flights. That's what I meant. Catching fire, exploding. Yeah. So I think I have the 8.
Yeah. It's a shame how it, and you know what, that's how we're going to remember things. I mean, we're old now, but no, that was before so-and-so was in the White House. No, that was after the pandemic. No, that was before the pandemic.
Right. Exactly.
That's how we're going to remember things.
Yep. Yeah. But the past 2 years have gone by so fast. It's like a blur.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is
these tickets I bought from Motley Crue. I bought in 2019. Actually, I have the Galaxy Note 9.
Oh, yeah, your shit's a lot older, a lot newer than mine. I'm still with the 7 or 8 here.
Well, you said yours is 6 years old. Mine's 4 years old. And,
yeah, okay.
And it works great. I think I'm getting close to my storage limit. But
I have to maintain this phone. If I don't maintain it, it becomes useless. It becomes bogged down and doesn't do shit.
Right. Yeah. You got to optimize it.
Plus, there's planned obsolescence on these phones, you know.
There's planned obsolescence on everything.
I think they know ahead of time exactly how long it's going to last. I consider it a challenge now at this point. I'm like, let's see how long we can run this bitch.
Yeah, we do.
The needle's on E. Oh, we can still go.
Brenda wants a new iPhone. She has an iPhone, being the IT person as she is.
Right.
And then I have the Android just for the fact that I never liked iPhones. And so she wants the new one. And
I'm probably going to get one, and then we'll probably have to splurge for new tablets for the boys. So yeah, that'd be a $2,000 nut to crack when the time comes. Hopefully, we can get the tablets for free like last time.
Nice. Yeah, we'll free see. Tablets is always good.
Yeah, AT&T. AT&T means it works at this time. AT&T.
All right, that brings us to the second, my second favorite part of the show, the alien update.
Possible looking alien! Where?
Warning! Aliens approaching! Warning! Biophysical experiments extremely dangerous for Earth people!
It's a pretty good robot.
He's a little bit of an alien, too, but I think he's mostly. He's an alien robot. You could be an alien robot, right? But not all robots are domestic.
I computed the aliens. They are capable of sinister and dangerous acts.
You weird alien man!
All right, the alien update is, well, it's exactly what that is. We're talking about Musk, we're talking about Gates, we're talking about Bezos, we're talking about Zuckerberg, we're talking about Branson. We're talking about all these people, out of 7 billion people on a planet, this handful of people who have advanced us socially as a civilization. They've advanced us with technology, and they become very rich in the process. So there's been alien intervention, or they themselves are aliens. Sometimes it turns into the Elon Musk hour, I know, and, well, this is no exception today. Today we are going to kick it off with Elon Musk. According to BBC.com, so it must be true, Twitter test, quote, notes feature with 2,500 word limit.
Wow.
Twitter is trying a new feature allowing users to share notes as long as 2,500 words. The social media platform normally limits posts to 280 characters. I thought it was 140.
It used to be 140. Yeah, originally it was 140.
Twitter said the move was in response to seeing people use the platform to post pictures of longer announcements and steer followers to outside newsletters. See, they're not dumb there with Musk coming in. He's going, look, you're losing all these people because it should. They know how long you're on. They know what you're looking at and what you're not looking at. And they realize once you looked at a certain thing, you would click on the link and go somewhere else. They don't want that. They want to capture everything. It's like Disney. You know, it took Disney years. You know, Disney was smart at the beginning. They were like, well, we're going to build hotels. So when you come to visit us, you're going to want to stay at one of our hotels and we're going to offer food.
Exactly.
Because you're going to buy our food. But then they got really smart in their expansion and they said, we're tired of being in the food business. We're tired of being in a hotel business. We don't do that. We do the entertainment stuff. So they started just subbing that shit out and then taking 25% off the top. And that's what they do.
Well, anyway. That's why Disney never made a fourth park or a fifth park. There was always talk of it, and they were going to do an Islands of Adventure type thrill park. And they're like, well, the average person comes on vacation, you know, what, 5 days, 7 days, and there's enough here to do between the water parks and the shopping and the four theme parks and the miniature golf and this, that, and the other thing, that you know, to make more would be overkill. So people go.
Meanwhile,
Universal
steps in their backyard and kicks their ass on a daily basis, and SeaWorld was just voted the best theme park in the country. So,
yeah, not when I went last year. It wasn't the best theme park in the country last year.
I hear you. I'm just telling you, it was recent. I didn't make a big deal of it because I just took it in passing, like it, you know, a meaningless award that they probably paid for. You know how that shit goes.
Exactly. Voted number one by who?
You're the only one that was being voted on.
Yes. Exactly.
You were the only one qualified to run.
We're doing a Universal Vacation Labor Day weekend. We're doing a 3-day, 1 day Universal, 1 day at Islands, 1 day at Volcano Bay, is it?
Yeah.
So we're staying on property at Universal. And tickets, hotel, $1,200. For 3 days.
Hmm.
3 days.
Well, that's because you don't have to buy full-on tickets for the kids, right? Or do you?
Nikki, no. Xander, yes.
That's not bad still. Yeah, it's the time to go do stuff like that when the kids are young.
Oh, you want them to remember.
Yeah.
Or at least have a good time when they're there. You know, so remembering doesn't matter.
This way, in 25 years, they can hear the waiter at the rainforest telling them how they dropped their steak on the floor as they're eating it.
Yeah. Put a bump.
Not that that would ever be a real thing and happen in real life. I'm just saying.
No. Yeah.
They're never. Home. Honey, remember 20 years ago we went to Disney? Remember we went to the rainforest? Let's pop in the tape, because it's a big bulky cassette tape, I'm sure. Let's pop that in and watch our dinner experience again. Yeah, that was great. It was classic.
I wonder what they thought when they got home.
I don't know. It was great.
For people who are wondering, Mike and I used to work together at a theme restaurant on Disney property, and somebody had set up a camera on the table to do a home video.
Well, it was on the bus station, which was across from their table. It wasn't right on the table. It was pointed at their table.
Okay, yeah, I didn't mean to make it seem like it was on their table, but it was pointed at their table so they can watch themselves eat in the future. And, of course, the microphone is on the camera itself and far enough away from the table that they didn't know that a certain both mics
– practicing out new material
or at least,
in the microphone.
Or at least one mic was whispering into the microphone while they were eating their food. And you can imagine what kind of – calamity went on.
Oh, I can't believe he ate that. Oh my god.
Oh, ew. Did you? Oh, that was on the floor, right?
Is that the soup that Sherry spit in? Oh,
things of that nature. So,
yes, we were just as mature back then as we are now.
Exactly. Exactly. Awesome. All right.
So, according to USA Today, so it must be true, Elon Musk's 18-year-old daughter.
What?
I didn't know he had an 18-year-old daughter. She's granted a name change and a gender change in California. Elon Musk's 18-year-old daughter has been granted a name and gender change in California. Judge Rafael Onyekiko approved Vivian Jana Wilson's petition Wednesday in the Santa Monica courthouse after no one objected to the changes, the AP reported. Hey, Nikki. Hey, Xander. How are you? Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Are you being good? Have you been good?
Yes.
About that. Hi. Hi, Nikki. How are you? Hi. Hi. All right. Be good.
He just stole my pretzel. Close the door.
So anyway, this Elon Musk's daughter, according to court documents filed in Los Angeles County Superior Court in Santa Monica, obtained by USA Today, Wilson listed gender identity and an apparent dislike of Musk as the reason for the name change. I no longer live with or wish to be related to my biological father in any way, shape, or form, she wrote in a petition filed April 18th.
April 18th?
Yeah, I guess it takes a while to go through the court system and be, you know, leaked out to the media and all that stuff.
I'll bet you he's a real bastard to deal with as a father. I had no idea he had kids. I thought he was single and had no family. But yeah, oh God, can you imagine dealing with that as a father, you know, because I'm sure he's always right, you know, and it's always has to be my way, you know, he's too busy telling his employees that they have to show up for work. They can't work remote anymore. You just imagine what how he's working over his kids.
Wilson's previous name reflected on her birth certificate was Xavier Alexander Musk. Wilson's mother is Justine Wilson, who divorced Musk in 2008. Musk had 6 children with the Canadian author.
Holy crap. I had no idea.
Ton of kids, I guess.
Yeah, so I was thinking, he has 1 kid, yeah, so.
It's like an NBA player. He's got kids in every city.
Right? Unreal. So 6 kids. And I'm sure that, I don't know, like, even if Musk disowns her, she probably gets money from the mother, because I'm sure the mother gets a boatload of cash.
I think I would be crushed. I mean, if that was the case, but.
Well, you wouldn't put yourself in a situation like that. He's probably, like I said, an animal to freaking deal with, you know?
I know, but just think about it. I couldn't do that to my parent, and I don't think my kid could do that to me. You know what I mean?
Mike, you're a completely different person than this alien, you know?
Wow. Well, so. I don't know. I might be an alien, too. I may have been abducted. I do have an abduction story, but we won't get into that here. There's a true story. I think I told you about the situation. Wasn't a thing like, you know, like this Blue Phoenix. By the way, I'm doing another interview with her coming up soon, Blue Crystalline Phoenix. Be doing another interview probably coming up this week here. So look out for that. Interview number 4 with an extraterrestrial advanced intellect. Interview number 4. Mike, you sound disappointed. You don't sound like you believe it.
Enough already with the psychotic. The psychotic woman.
Here's where I'm at, dude. I'm not advocating for or against. I just think it's a very interesting thing, and I think there's some plausible explanations and plausible details and stuff that could be happening, and I don't see a reason to doubt this person. She seems very sincere, and I used to do that's what I did for a living, kind of like you, where you have to interview people and you have to make business decisions and things like that. I used to be, that's what I did. I got paid to sort through the bullshit for a lot of years. I don't sense she's bullshitting that much. And if she is, and I get taken or something, so be it. I get it. You know, I'm a sucker. Call me a sucker. I'm not saying I'm falling for anything, but you seem to think that, no, she's full of shit.
Dude, I think she's a psychiatric patient.
Nice.
Yeah. She's definitely, hopefully the mental health, you know, abilities here in the state of Florida get better, and she gets the treatment she needs.
Wow, dude. Anyway, you could see another one. By the way, the videos keep doing better and better views-wise. Oh, hey.
Nikki wants a pretzel.
Yes.
So he took my pretzel, so now he wants a pretzel. So he drags his little button here with the pretzels, and he wants me to open the pretzels.
Absolutely. Open the pretzels, man. I want a pretzel. That sounds good now. Nice.
Yeah. He's learned how to do the raspberry. That's his new thing now, is the raspberry.
I see that. Hey. Hey. Hey, Nikki. Hi.
All right. Get your butt out of here, Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Go. Take those.
Well, like Nikki there, you know, when he learns who he's named after, is he going to want to change his name?
I don't know. Who's he named after?
I thought he was named after Nikki Six.
No. Named after Nick Piantinita.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We spell his name Nikki, N-I-K-K-I. But yeah, I basically, Brenda's like, how about Nicholas? And I was like, all right, yeah. Because of my mother's cousin, Nicholas, I thought that, or Nikki, that would be a good idea. And then Brenda tells me that she, that was her over there, that she was like, yeah, I was thinking Nikki Six when I thought of Nikki. I was like, all right.
There you go. And how about Xander? Was that any relation to Robin Xander or no?
Yeah, well, I thought the name Xander would be cool for a first name. So that's why I picked that.
I've heard Xander for a kid's name, but it was always spelled with an X, not a right. Z. So I thought the Z was good.
Yeah, now the X is a nickname for Alexander.
Ah, see, I didn't know that.
With the X. So okay. we weren't thinking Alexander at all. We were thinking Xander with a Z. Brenda's mom begged us not to call him Xander. You know, he's going to get picked on, blah, blah, blah. And it comes out that in 2017, when he was born, Xander was one of the up and coming non-common names for children.
It comes out
that two doors down from us, there is a 13-year-old, he's probably 14 now, maybe 15, 15-year-old boy. And his name is Xander with a Z. So in our little cul-de-sac, there's two Xanders with a Z.
There you go.
More common than she thought.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's not getting picked on or not. It's cool to have a name that sets you apart from people.
Right.
Doesn't, you know.
Like Mike?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dude, everybody's named Mike in my family, dude. If you ever go to a function at my place, big gathering, family gathering, 20 or so of my family there.
Right.
If you forget somebody's name, just call Mike. You're probably going to be right.
Well, what's strange with my family is it's all girls.
Yeah.
My generation of Taylor, there's Mike Taylor and Scott Taylor. Everything else is female.
Right.
So, yeah, there was only two of us to carry on the name. And, of course, my oldest being Mike.
So they have a new thing out. It's according to SciTechDaily.com. Electronic tattoo. What? This electronic tattoo offers highly accurate continuous blood pressure monitoring.
Okay.
It's a new electronic tattoo that can be worn comfortably on the wrist for hours, delivering continuous blood pressure measurements at an accuracy level exceeding nearly all available options on the market today.
Wow. Does it, I guess it changes color or something?
Let's see here. Yada, 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 yada. Score through the bullshit. It can be worn comfortably on the wrist for hours and deliver continuous blood pressure measurements at an accuracy level exceeding nearly all available options. Blood pressure is the most important vital sign you can measure, but the methods to do it outside of the clinic passively without a cuff are very limited. That's according to DG Akawande. Oh, boy. A professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at UT Austin. That's where you went to school, right? University of Texas Austin?
No, I went to St. Edward's University in Austin, right down the road, though.
And one of the co-leaders of the project, which is documented in a new paper published June 20th, 2022 in Nature Nanotechnology. Taking infrequent blood pressure measurements as annotations, yada, yada, yada. I'm thinking it's like a temporary tattoo thing that you wear. Yeah, there's a picture. I'll put it up here in post. You know those temporary tattoos kids get, or you get them to come up with? You put that on your wrist, and I guess it shows readings based on LED light sources shine through the skin.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I was a part of an experiment at the last place I worked. They gave us watches as a stress test. And I guess we wore this watch, and it was actually Wi-Fi to our phone. And they were able to track us as far as blood pressure, oxygen level, and all of this. It was the first watch that was available to monitor blood pressure. And it had those lights on the back and everything. And I tried Googling this watch and couldn't find it anywhere. But I was able to figure out or able to determine through research that it was created in Israel. And it was an Israeli company that the company I worked for was working with. And there was like a bunch of us at work that wore these watches. And they would ask us questions. What happened to you at 10:22 at night? You know, and you'd have to respond, you know, I was doing this. And I guess it was some kind of activity on the watch that showed that was happening during that time. I didn't wear it all the time, you know, because, you know, when you're having, relation time, I'm sure the watch is going bonkers and everything else. But, yeah. It was a tracking thing, and they actually paid us a little extra, and that's when I got that VR goggle. They gave us a gift of the Oculus goggle thing, and
you use that? Did it work? Does it work? Do you still have it?
I still have it. I think it's really cool. It's now an old generation model. You know how the Oculus has two controllers now? This one just had one, and I think it's really cool. You know, like
did you feel like you were in an alternate reality?
You knew something was going on. You know, it made you think that you were seeing what you were seeing. But
so it wasn't over cartoonish, over digitized or anything like that.
It was like the home screen is like you at like overlooking a canyon, and you can look around and look behind you and look up and look down, and it flowed perfectly with it. The thing is,
so you're just floating all the time.
Yeah, I guess in a sense, because like if you walked, it didn't walk with you. You know, plus if you walked around, you'd smash into something in your bedroom or living room. You know, it you couldn't determine where you were outside of the goggle universe. But it actually, it was really cool.
Getting back to this article, the device takes its measurements by shooting an electric current into the skin and then analyzing the body's response, which is known as bioimpedance. This is a correlation between bioimpedance and changes in blood pressure, And let me click this here real quick here. Changes in blood pressure. That has to do with blood volume changes. However, the correlation is not particularly obvious, so the team had to create a machine learning model to analyze the connection to get accurate blood pressure readings. They're saying the cuffless blood pressure monitoring is called the, quote, holy grail. They've been looking for something like this for a while, and they think it could. So I'm going to have to track down what companies are, you know, doing this and invest in that. That sounds like something futuristic here. Sounds like something to invest in.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it was this company from Israel. And I still recently I Googled the watch, and I still have it. I took it out last week or the week before when I cleaned my closet, and I wore it for a day. But the app that was on the phone no longer works with it, and I need to try to Google it and see if there's any kind of new news on it.
Right.
From what I can understand, the watch was $1,500. But they gave it to us free, and you know, it was basically a throwaway right now. It had a crappy LED screen. It didn't have anything. You know, it wasn't like your phone. It was just numbers, basically.
Have you looked it up online anywhere? Is it worth anything?
Yeah. Well, when I originally looked, I think I found something that said it was worth $1,500.
Right. But
I'll have to look it up again.
I meant on a secondary market or something. Maybe you could buy you a night out with the wife, or maybe concert tickets or something.
Yeah, well, that's what my intention was to sell it. But people, you know, if there's no app to go with it, I don't know. Is it worth it? You know, I'll look it up. Plus, it didn't charge.
I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah. Plus, it didn't charge like it should.
Ah, well, there you go.
I had issues with the charging, and then the contacts on the back. Where I was having reactions with the sweat on my arm.
Yeah.
Because I sweat like a goddamn pig now.
Right. According to news4jax.com, that's over by you, a signed Peyton Manning football was among the items stolen during a rager at an $8 million Florida home.
Yep.
Florida teens break into home, throw party, post evidence on Snapchat. See, that's where they always get caught, by sharing it on social media.
Yep. You tell them no.
Walton County.
Yeah. Okay. You know so what that is, right? Panhandle. For
$1,500 bottle of wine and expensive handbags. I guess you got those $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 handbags if you got an $8 million house.
Yeah.
So we're among the items stolen from an $8 million seaside home Saturday night after Florida teens broke in and threw a wild party over the weekend. This is in South Walton. It's about 30 miles from Panama City Beach. They were called, the police, Walton County Sheriff's was called to Blackwater Street in Watercolor, a beachside community that features luxurious resorts, according to its owner, who did not want to be named, of the ransacked home, and said these teenagers would be prosecuted to fully extend the law. I was just shocked, she said in her initial reaction. It was a feeling of disgust that these kids would do that. We lived in the community for 6 years. We raised kids here. There was a for sale sign out front. She said she lives with her husband and two small kids, and they were out of town when they got a call from the police asking if she knew about the party inside her home.
I thought I heard that she was looking at her interior cameras or something, but I guess the cops called her, and then they were looking at their Ring video inside their house, and they saw like strangers just partying in their house.
An open house party is against the law. An open house party in a home you break into is burglary. This is what the sheriff's office wrote. Videos are circulating on Snapchat, Instagram, and other social media platforms, with some of the highlights, including where some of the people attending turned the foyer of the $8 million home into a boxing ring. I need to search out these videos and stuff.
Right?
Thank God we didn't have these capabilities when I was a kid, because I would have been named in just about every report I fucking call out here on the show. Videos and photos showed young adults smoking in what appeared to be a theater room, drinking, boxing, and play fighting. One video showed a male wearing a handful of gold rings he found in the home.
Wow.
Can you imagine going away and then coming back and finding out this happened, dude?
Well, you would think that an $8 million house would have some sort of security system.
You know,
this is according to somebody here in the article here. It's not even about the items that were stolen at this point. It's about what was destroyed. It's about young people getting into your closet and trying on your clothes and people being in your bathroom and your bed and all that.
Mm. Yeah. And the stuff that was stolen.
That's crazy. Well, I'm glad they caught those kids, but at the same time, thank God they, when the cops responded, this guy didn't respond. This, according to USAtoday.com, must be true then. A man stole a patrol car from a sheriff station, official said. Then he responded to a 911 call. Your son had to be, maybe your son knows this guy, or maybe he was part of the arrest, because this is from Colorado.
Wow.
Let's see here. Colorado man is being charged with multiple felonies after authorities said he broke into a sheriff's station, stole a patrol vehicle, and later was the first to respond to a domestic violence call. Jeremiah James Taylor broke into a Park County. Wow, I wonder if that's Park County like South Park. Wow.
Yeah.
Broke into a Park County sheriff's substation near Lake George, about 30 miles west of Colorado Springs, early Monday morning. The Teller County Sheriff's Office said in a news release, authorities said Taylor burglarized the station and later stole a marked patrol vehicle. At 3:27 a.m., a radio call for domestic violence in progress was broadcast over the police radio system in Teller County, which is just east of Park County. Taylor, oh boy, this guy's name is Taylor. I'm just picking up on that. Last name Taylor. Right. Jeremiah James Taylor, that is. Taylor, in the patrol vehicle, heard the call and was the first to arrive at the home in Florissant with the vehicle siren on. He was there. He was playing a cop.
Wow.
Dispatchers told officers the Park County Sheriff was on the scene. He appeared intoxicated and Park County Sheriff's vehicle was damaged. So a drunk guy rolls up in a cop car. 2 hours later, the vehicle was spotted and a pursuit ensued with both Park County and Teller County officers. Taylor reached speeds of 110 miles an hour, with officials saying he committed multiple traffic violations, including passing vehicles on double yellow line dividers. The vehicle later crashed and Taylor attempted to flee into the woods. Officers located Taylor and attempted to have him show his hands, but he pulled out a knife. Authorities say a taser was deployed on Taylor and one shot was fired by the officers. Taylor was arrested and taken to a nearby hospital for self-inflicted knife wounds. Taylor is facing 4 felony counts, including aggravated motor vehicle theft, second-degree burglary, vehicular eluding, and impersonating a peace officer, as well as under other misdemeanor counts. He had been on probation for menacing, theft, and DUI, and authorities are investigating possible crimes he committed before entering the sheriff's station. Here's my question right here. Okay.
Yes.
He's on probation for these other things. He's doing other crimes. What is menacing? He's on probation. One of the violations he had was menacing.
Menacing. It's like being a menace to society.
I get that, but I mean, define it. Define the activity. How are you guilty of that? Is that like a RICO law thing where you're talking about a conspiracy to do something?
Define menace. Menace.
Did he look at them sideways? Did he look at them crossways?
Let's see.
Did he give them a menacing look?
Yes. Exactly. I can define menacing. Define messing. Oh, it helps if I spell it right, right? Menacing.
While Mike's doing that, let me remind you, it's football season's coming up. Go to winningfantasyfootball.com, hallofamefantasyfootball.com. Check it out. I do fantasy football. I do it right. I do it cheap. And I guarantee my results. So if you want to win some money, want to play some fantasy football, I'd love to help you win. I got a system that's down packed. Everybody who drafts with my system has spectacular years. I even have a program where you get a playoff guarantee. So if you've been playing fantasy football, just haven't won the big thing or haven't won it in a while or getting outplayed every year, what have you, hook up with me. We'll win together. Hall of Fame Fantasy Football.com, Winning Fantasy Football. Check out the Facebook group and the YouTube page as well, Winning Fantasy Football.
Definition of menacing. presenting, suggesting, or constituting a menace or threat. Threatening to menace, look, menacing words.
So the kid from Virginia in 125, he said he was coming down to Orlando to kick some cop ass. He probably got charged with menacing then.
Yeah. Throwing a punch at someone could result in menacing charges. Hmm. Even if the person is not actually hit, yelling threats at someone or even looking at someone while making threatening gestures could be considered menacing. Wow, how's that for freaking a broad stroke?
Well, there you go.
What is menacing behavior? Menacing behavior is expressing or showing intent to inflict or threaten to inflict harm or injury upon another, someone, upon someone or something. Wow. Synonyms for menacing. No, we won't go there. But Teller County is west of Colorado Springs. Pikes Peak is part of Teller County from what I can see on the map, and a little town called Cripple Creek. Cripple Creek is known for a gigantic gold mine that is there, and it's a little tiny town, almost like a forgotten town, not a ghost town per se. We were there in 2017, and they're like revitalizing the area. And there's a bunch of little mom-and-pop type casinos there that were kind of cool. And I collect poker chips, so I actually went into a couple of them and got poker chips from them.
They have a lot of handicap parking in Cripple Creek?
I think it's all handicap parking. Nice. Everybody gets blue paint. Everybody gets a good spot.
According to Newsweek.com, an enormous comet is due to fly past Earth next month. It should be visible throughout the summer for those with access to a small telescope. The comet C/2017K2 was spotted in 2017 using the Pan-STARRS telescope in Hawaii, followed by a Hubble telescope observation the same year. The comet was a record breaker at the time, becoming the farthest active inbound comet ever seen at a distance of 1.5 billion miles from the sun. It was spotted way out beyond the orbit of Saturn. Even back then, the comet had begun to develop an 80,000 miles wide trail of dust, which is also known as its coma, as it approached the sun. In other words, the comet's dust cloud was nearly as big as the planet Jupiter. Five years on, the comet is much closer to us and our star, and will glide past Earth in just a few weeks. The comet is due to reach its nearest point to us on July 14th, according to space website Earth Sky. The term near here is relative, since the comet will still be farther away from us than the planet Mars. This means it's unlikely that the comet will be visible to the naked eye, but a small telescope should spot the large ice ball. What are you thinking, Mike? This is a comet, they say, big enough to wipe out dinosaurs. Bigger than that. Well, and it's coming near us. You think they're telling us the truth?
Near us? As in, like, between here and Mars near us? Yeah. We need a telescope to see it. Yeah. When we don't need a telescope to see it, that's when we need to worry.
It's even more rare for a comet to be visible with the naked eye. Only a handful, such as Comet Hale-Bopp and Comet Hikutaki. It's Hyakutake. So say it however the hell you want to say it, okay?
Right.
The current number of comets is 3,743, according to NASA, and there's tens of thousands of near-Earth asteroids. Comets are relatively rare compared to asteroids or meteors.
Interesting.
So anyway, we won't have that close call for a little while.
Right, until the 14th.
Giant sunspot.
Yes.
Doubled in size in 24 hours, and it's pointing right at Earth. This is one of those things they're going to talk about, a solar flare wiping out the grid, solar flare wiping out the internet, shit like that, false flag stuff. They're setting us up with this is what this is, dude.
Right.
Yeah. Sunspot called... Go ahead.
I know it like interferes with some radio waves. Like, they had issues a few years back when something like this happened, but
that's real. I experienced that. Yes.
Yeah. But you know, it's radio.
They say it's the, unstable beta gamma magnetic field that harbors energy for the M-class or medium-sized solar flares, and it's directly facing Earth. See, Earth around us, because of our magnetic core and everything, our iron core, what happens is we have this magnetism around us, and that naturally blocks most of the dangerous rays from the sun or any other stars like that. And if we didn't have that, we would fry up. We'd be radioactive. There'd be no more Earth. I mean, look at the moon. That's what we would be like. We'd look like that. Some people believe we were on Mars and we ruined that planet and, you know, people came here and started over.
Yes.
Thank you for that chilling retort there, Mike.
Yes. my color commentary for the day.
One more thing here.
Yeah.
We got about five to go here, but microscopic mites that mate on our faces at night may soon become one with humans. This is according to SciTechDaily.com.
Okay.
They show a picture of a little thing. It's almost clear looking. The secret lives of mites in the skin of our faces. Oh. Microscopic mites that live in human pores and mate on our faces at night are becoming such simplified organisms due to their unusual lifestyles that may soon become one with humans, according to new research findings.
Now, are these microorganisms, are they screwing inside my CPAP mask or outside of my CPAP mask?
Probably both. The mites are passed on during birth and are carried by almost every human, with numbers peaking in adults as the pores grow bigger. They measure around 0.3 millimeters long and are found in the hair follicles on faces and nipples, including the eyelashes, and eat the sebum naturally released by cells in the pores. They become active at night and move between follicles looking for a mate.
Ew. So, like, yeah. Ew.
So when you shave, are you like cutting them in half? They're like running. Oh my god! He's gonna cut off my head. Cut them in half and shit like a worm.
Yeah, I guess. You know, you're smothering them with shaving cream.
Oh, here we go. Some researchers had assumed the mites do not have an anus and therefore must accumulate all their new feces through their lifetime before releasing it when they die, causing skin inflammation. The new study, however, confirmed they do have anuses and so have been unfairly blamed for many skin conditions.
Nice.
Well, I know they're not jumping off my face and running to the bathroom, so that's not nice. The mites lack UV protection and have lost the gene that causes animals to be awakened by daylight.
What?
They also have been left unable to produce melatonin, a compound that makes invertebrates active at night.
Interesting.
They are able to fuel all their all-night mating sessions using the melatonin secreted by the human skin at dusk.
Interesting. Is this why we can't sleep at night?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I felt like shit was crawling on me before, but now I'm really going to feel it.
Right. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Good news is not only are they having sex on your face, but we now know they have anuses, so they're shitting on your face, too.
That's right. Yeah. Nice.
So before you go to bed tonight, look closely in the mirror.
I will be. Yep.
Look at all those pores. See if you can see anything moving. Like, put on your readers and get a magnifying glass.
My readers?
Yeah. I have readers, dude.
Yeah. I've worn these since first grade.
Nice.
Yeah. No readers.
All right. So we got less than 2 minutes here. I do want to thank everybody for watching, for everybody for listening. We are moving and shaking here. We're trying to get on a couple other platforms here. I say trying.
Yes. To
be there soon. So look out for us. If you find a place that we're not, you get your stuff there, find us, because you can find us where you find stuff. Check out my friend Gino Losi. He put you on a monster fish. Check him out on the socials. Gino Losi, G-I-N-O-L-O-S-I. Check out my friend Dustin Levine at the Melon Patch Theater in Leesburg. Buy some tickets to a show. Buy some advertising. Donate some money. Check out my friend Night Fan Stan over at Jet Set Printing in Orlando for all your printing needs in Central Florida. Mike, anybody to shout out to?
Nope.
Okay. Sounds good. We will wrap it now then. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this was what? 126?
126.
How do we do it?
Not a prime
crazy number. Crazy. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you later.
Later. Ciao.